prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, we thank Thee as we assemble together that we can approach Thee to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Thy Spirit can catalyze our meditation, can challenge us to recognize our relationship unto Thee and the importance of our relationship and our understanding for this vital hour. We thank Thee, our Father, for the many blessings You have bestowed upon us, for citizenship in this great nation of Thy kingdom, for the opportunity to carry out the objectives of this hour, recognizing that nothing can be done except to be with Thy assistance and by Thy power and through Thy Spirit, knowing that by this triumph over Thy enemies, even the victories that are won in earth and on this dimension could only take place when Thy power and Thy Spirit has broken down the resistance. Knowing the size and the area of the vast conspiracy and the mighty plot against Thy kingdom, knowing that we are outnumbered in the midst of the earth, that our strength must come from Thee, we become thankful unto Thee that we can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Drawing out of this realization the areas of faith and of strength essential to carry out the objectives in this hour. So, our Father, as we meditate upon these situations before us, our background as they relate to Thee, we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Thy name we ask it. Amen. As we turn in our thinking tonight, this subject, this nation under God. Probably there has been no period in our history where we have found such a strange and evil strategy to try to destroy the identity of this nation as a part of God's kingdom. Never have we had so concerted an endeavor to try to take away all relationship in the mind and the thinking of the people from the very God who has ordained our beginnings. Thus it is that we are watching a wholesale strategy being directed against the peoples of God's kingdom, especially against these United States. From the veriest hour of our earliest existence, there has been one thing that we should be very proud of in our heritage, that men with courage and with vision that sailed across then what was a very large ocean to them, to reach the shores of this land, possess a deep and abiding faith in God. A faith that He could carry them through, and faith when they reached upon arrival on this continent that God alone had brought them through. And from Plymouth Rock to every other landing, they fell upon their knees to give thanks unto God that He had brought them safe passage. Throughout the days of the development of this nation, it has become one of the factors that can never be blotted out of history, that the people of this nation and the folks that formed this nation came from the great nations of the Western world. Every one of these nations had behind them hundreds and hundreds of years of their Christian background and of their Christian faith. Thus, through the course of the development of our society, we were a people that had deeply embedded both in the background of our inheritance and the cultural wave that passed from generation to generation, in the image of the chromatin set up as electronic memory and brought to the consciousness of the individual by the very grace of God and His abiding Spirit, was an awareness and a responsibility deep down within them to recognize the eternal God of the heavens and to find their relationship with Him. Thus it is that the early colonies were colonies of a Christian society. If there has ever been a diabolical conspiracy and plan launched against contemporary history, is to try to say that the people that made up the background of our country were pagan and not religious and came here only to exploit their own economic gain, or that the development of our society was made by a group of rascals and mercenaries. For I point out to you, American history has been inspired and motivated by destiny and by hand, even from the point when God prophesied unto David and told him that He was going to give him another land, and he stood that day in Jerusalem when God told him another land would be far beyond the waters, far beyond the lands to the west. A new land will I give thee. And when we arrived in this land, they weren't going to move us out, and they were not going to overthrow or ever be able to destroy the nation and the land that He was going to give Israel. Now, let me point out to you that the greatness of our society has always been in the pattern of its inspiration. The early days, our educational systems in this nation was almost 100% tied to the recognition of God. As we've mentioned even this afternoon, Yale, Harvard, and other universities' presidents made it very clear The most important thing they considered in the areas of education was to develop a wholesome and spiritual respect and responsibility to the Most High God and to His holy word. They said they were far more interested in seeing that the youth that went through their universities in America had an abiding faith in God and had sterling character built upon the laws of God and the principles of God than if they picked up any of the other aspects of education. I point out to you that some of these very schools today in which we find the forces of darkness attacking the very principles and the very fundamentals of our society and our way of life were dedicated upon the principle of carrying forward the spiritual responsibility and the normal reaction of a child of God to his father. We point out to you that in almost every one of the original colonies, they incorporated in those colonies, even when they were under colonial law, when they were but a portion of the administration of a foreign, distant country, when they were colonies of the King of England, or when they represented the colonial representation of other areas of other kingdoms. Every one of the major colonies incorporated their recognition and their faith in God. In fact, so strong did this go that we had laws in those colonial days that barred men from office unless they were Christian. That wouldn't let them participate in any areas of administration unless they were Christian. In fact, in New York State, whether it was the New Amsterdam colony, it was totally impossible for anybody to come in and dwell and stay overnight on Manhattan Island unless he was a Christian. I think that'd be a good thing today. Wouldn't that be a remarkable exercise? Why, my friends, if everybody that was a Christian had to get off Manhattan Island at sundown, here would be the biggest evacuation that ever took place for every 24 hours. When people talk about the fact that our background had no great basic religious responsibility, it did. For in the desires for freedom and in the stirring forces, God Almighty was moving, selecting, and putting in men's hearts the strange desire to move, to get out, to find areas of greater expression and greater freedom. Just look at how many of our states actually formed from a desire for religious independence, even from ecclesiastical hierarchy, and they gathered together that they might express this, they might live and worship God without pressure from any powerful potentate or for any area of ecclesiastical pressure. It was out of this great spiritual gathering of his household and this developing ferment that God had his own purpose and plan that we watched the colonial life and the expansion of these Americas until that fateful day of destiny when a nation was going to be born in a day. And it was on the 4th of July in 1776, the last great final nation of God's kingdom was to emerge as the great headstone, capstone nation of the kingdom. And once in a while we hear someone saying there was no biblical spiritual relationship between the formation of this country than any other country, or that this was just a political development that had to come. But I want you to know that in the development of this country, those men that had dedicated themselves to this battle for liberty and freedom also wanted to see that fulfillment in its highest expression as a great spiritual development. You know, there is a wholesale Babylon that is fought today out of the areas of ignorance against the great foundations of wisdom and of knowledge in the spiritual schools of history. And I point out to you that our race, which from its very beginning and from its very inception, not only nurtured of God, spiritually begotten by the Father in the heavens, placed in the earth to build a kingdom, have been continuing down from the days of Adam on down through the great patriarchal age of men like Enoch and Job, who had their responsibility in lifting up standards and building temples and laying down a great area of fundamental knowledge, on down through the schools of wisdom and secret which they carried for your race, through the days of Noah and through the days of his descendants from the time of Shem on down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and throughout the whole course of your history, as out of this great race line of the white race, the great nations of the Western world were formed. And behind them was a great spiritual dynamic. And while there were men who always had the responsibility, as all men do, to provide for their families and to see they had sufficient food and to apply their energies to the blessings of God to obtain this, there was also stirring callings and great spiritual desires and great knowledge to know. And God had poured out wisdom and knowledge upon His sons and upon patriarchs, and they established schools for this. One school taught them to seek all the matter, all the knowledge they could while in the earth as the veil had descended over them from the fall, to regain a consciousness of spiritual law, of spiritual application. Another great pattern of wisdom was to teach them their relationship to the earth in occupying the earth for God, master builders with God, out of which you may remember the word mason or masonos comes. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm a mason, a wise master builder. And no good mason or no master builder could lay any other foundation than that which was laid by Jesus Christ. And this wasn't the devil's Illuminati either. I don't think there is an Illuminati. There's an Illuminati, all right. There's an Illuminati all over the world that works for Satan. But Satan always tries to trade on truth, and he always tries to absorb area of responsibility and identify himself with something which is of God, then twist it, destroy it, and wipe it out. Throughout all periods of time, the one way the devil tries to stop some good work is to join it and then try to destroy it. Now, we point out that in the instance of the destiny of our race, great areas of wisdom and knowledge were carried out, and those that had enough desire to know that they take time to study and take time to travel through the areas of divine wisdom that carried them in conscious remembrance through the courses of yesterday, in its secrets and in tomorrows, found that their lives were filled with knowledge, with wisdom, with lore, with the historical tradition of the things of God's kingdom. We point out today, we do not wage war against any branch of the great areas of spiritual truth God has preserved down through the generations. We're as disgusted as any other intelligent Mason would be disgusted with what transpired inside the Masonic order when the enemy came in. And one of the greatest catastrophes in all history is when any order that carries the destiny of wisdom in God's kingdom lets the Jews and Satan's children in. That's when they get trouble. Now, what I want to point out, however, is that the knowledge and the wisdom and the symbols and the majesty of revealed truth has stayed with our race from way back in the days of Enoch and Job right on down to this present time. And though the enemy has come in like a flood, God still continues to raise up a standard everywhere where his people are, and the truth is still preserved even in the face of the conspiracy. Now, we point out that in the background of our race, with all of its migrations, its captivities, its emerging into Europe, the building of the great Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic peoples that deep down sowed in them were all the great historical traditions and the patterns of revelation. More than this, the Holy Spirit of God brought to their attention, because they wanted his children, and challenged deep in their hearts the knowledge that the embodiment of God had come, that Jesus was the Christ. And every one of the great nations of the Western world became Christian even before they developed their nationhood, and they identified themselves as the children of God, and that they were the seed of Abraham. And the affinity with which they accepted the spiritual revelation and they absorbed it to carry it to the ends of the earth proves that identity. For if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham. Now, I also point out that this doesn't mean that anybody throughout the world can just give lip service to Jesus and that makes an Israelite out of him. It doesn't. And I'm going to tell you that they just don't become a part of the church either just because they come in and join this for some mercenary reason, while secretly in their heart they pledge allegiance to Lucifer and all that's involved. Thus it is I cite to you that this great nation of ours was developed as a part of God's plan and God's destiny. It was a great nation whose vital work in these latter days was to lead the nations of the world of God's kingdom against the powers of the world order, to lift up a standard, to have the mark and the identification of God's seal upon it. Thus it is that some of the most early knowledge of our race lay in the fact that the great kingdom of God, like that great symbol which they were taught in geometric pattern, the mighty pyramid of indestructible building, because it can stand all the pressure you can put upon it because of the way the angles absorb and the sides receive the pressure. And upon the top of it, the last and chief stone seals the whole building together and is the ideal symbol of the entire structure put together. Has to have the same angles, the same planes, and seal the whole thing in. Plus, it's the stone that tees in every building of a perfect pyramid. And you know, way back in the days of Enoch and Job, this was known. You know that the days when your race marched into Egypt and went down to the land of On to build that great and mighty city of On, and later the great temple which was erected there, that the hordes under the dark priests of Set and Thoth wanted to turn these sons of the Eternal. They didn't want them to enter their land. They came out and stirred up the forces of Pharaoh to stop this migration. And that great symbol of the all-seeing eye of God, emblazoned in the great reflecting disc and carrying its symbol, born by this household and race from whence you have come, not only had its burning or reflective capacities, but it dazzled in the eyes of the horsemen. It so caused fear to fall upon those that would attack that they fell back before it. And a tradition was immediately built that the eye of Yahweh, which is the God, they said the eye of Ra, which is the God of light, and these his children hath shown upon us. Well, the fact is that the symbol was way back ancient. It was used even before this, but it was the symbol of the eye of God sealed in a mighty stone, capping the entire destiny which they had planned. This is back was so well known that this stone set as a triangle with the eye in it was a part of the ritual way down to the days of the Temple of Solomon. It was incorporated in the symbols and the wisdom of the race throughout all the history of its migrations way back in the days of good King Athelstane that you've heard the tales of as King Arthur, in which you had Merlin as his magician. But Merlin was the magician. He was a historical high priest of Israel who had upon himself the breastplate of Israel and the signs and the symbols of all the gems and all the stones and all the knowledge. And you know that in that great order of wisdom that had been preserved and had come down even to your race in that time, they recognized their identity to the great ideal building of the kingdom, and the secret symbol of the all-seeing eye of God guiding that destiny was the symbol of a triangular stone with the eye in it. Now I only bring this out because there has a deep significance in this. This was known in the days when George Washington was the Grand Master of all of the ancient Masonic lodges in the United States. In fact, before we became a nation and when we were declared to be a nation, and he was one of the most important facets as signatory both to documents, but by leadership destined for that hour, he was also Grand Master of this lodge. I point out to you that when our forefathers were looking for symbols and seals and principles, that every single portion of all the emblems and the seals of these United States are tied to covenants and to destiny and pattern, knowing that this was the race and this was the household and this now was the nation that God had formed. And that's one of the reasons why, my friends, even on the seal of America, and you can take out a dollar bill and you can look at it and see both sides of that seal, and you'll see that this great new order of the ages, in retrospect, now being built, had upon it this great eye of God in a capstone and a seal, just exactly as it was in the days when Enoch and Job, with 144,000 savants, marched into the land of Egypt. Strangely enough, in this pattern of destiny, there was one thing that your forefathers were prescribing, one thing that they were ordaining by all the will in their being, that this great nation would move under God, under His inspiration and under His guidance, until it became an embodiment of God's kingdom on earth and led the nations of the world to the foot of Christ. Now, these not only were made in the works and the letters of George Washington, but the assent that these designs had to follow this course and that we had to exemplify in the symbols of America, all these things is to be found today. In my library is a remarkable set of works which the Congress of the United States had commissioned a Yale professor of great brilliance and research in astrology and seals, Professor Cotton, to produce. And these volumes which he produced become masterpieces under the commission of the Congress into the background of the seal and the background of the origin of the peoples of these United States. Now, this is done by a very active Congress. This is done by the work of one of the greatest students of research in Columbia University and a professor. And do you know what those books reveal? They reveal that our founding fathers accepted and recognized this as a great people of God's kingdom, that we were the Israel of God, and that this nation had a great and majestic destiny. That when they put anything on that seal, they knew what they did. They were not guided unwittingly, but wittingly, and they did it with intent. Now, some people may come along today and say, oh, well, a few wise leaders were just entrapping the whole society in these seals. My friends, the important thing is we had that kind of leaders in that time. That's more we can say for the present ones. If you're entrapped by anything today, what you're entrapped by, my friends, is not the knowledge of God, but you're entrapped by leadership that wants to take you as far away from God and from His plan as possible. Now, I think it is a significant thing then, that as the apostles had this clear in mind, and Peter had this brought to him by inspiration, and said, ye are all living stones, fitly framed together, grow into a holy temple unto God, in which God Himself becomes the chief cornerstone. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And there isn't any institution, no building, no structure on the face of the earth that has a chief cornerstone except a pyramid. And this is the ideal symbol of the messianic building of your race. And the all-seeing eye of God is identified as sealing it in as being the captain of your salvation and the cornerstone of your society. This nation under the eternal Yahweh. Oh, some people don't like that. Let me tell you something. We don't care whether people like the name or not. One of these days, there are a lot of people going to flee when they hear the sound of the name. And woe be unto the enemies of the Most High God that cry out against His holy name. Let me tell you something. We turn over to a very vital passage of Scripture found in the 33rd Psalm. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He not only gathered together and created all the areas of creation, the waters and the seas, all the elements of earth, but listen to what it says. Let all the earth fear Yahweh, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe before Him. For He spake and it's done, He commands and everything stands fast. Yahweh bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the enemies of His people to none effect. You can be thankful for that tonight. Because I'm going to tell you something. We've got a lot of men that would make the devices very effective by their procedure and their disobedience. But God says He makes the devices of the pagans and the heathen to none effect. Now, we read these words. And the counsel of Yahweh shall stand, and the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Now, let me get this next verse to you clearly, because we are under one of the strangest periods of deceptive witchcraft in time and history. We have those forces that seek to stand back as enlightened and try to tell us they're patriotic, and they say the most important thing that we can do is separate God and the nation, church and state. And I want you to know that there is no way that will lead to greater catastrophe and is already bringing more trouble and more judgment and more taxes and more evil upon you than this design to separate this nation from God. So I turn now to this 33rd chapter because it relates to you. And the counsel of Yahweh shall stand forever, and the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose El or God is Yahweh. Blessed is the nation whose El or whose God is Yahweh. Now, and it says, and blessed therefore is this nation and the people that He hath destined or chosen for His inheritance. For God looks down out of the heavens and beholds all the sons of Adam. Blessed is the nation whose El is Yahweh. Whenever you see that all-seeing eye of God that goes all the way back to the days of Enoch and Job, that, my friends, is the symbol of the omniscience and the wisdom of that eternal Yahweh whose ineffable name is above every name and who, my friends, the very forces of darkness fear to quote. You know, we are well accustomed to identifying ourselves as Christians because we are identified with the embodiment of God. The embodiment of a divine form is called Christed, and therefore we refer to Christians because we follow Yahshua the Christ, who we call Jesus the Christ or Jesus the Christ in the semantics of Greece. But the great name of the embodiment of the mighty God Yahweh was Yahshua. And in the great patterns of divine lore, this was well known. And this is why when the Spirit spake unto the Virgin Mary and Gabriel made His announcement, He says, Thou shalt call His name Yahshua, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now, whose people? He, the eternal Yahweh, embodied as Yahshua. And He declared over in the book of Isaiah, I, Yahweh, am thy Yahshua. I, thy God, am thy Savior. And He said, beside Me there isn't anyone else. Blessed is the nation whose El or whose deity is Yahweh. And then with this declaration that the people that make up such a nation also are a people He hath chosen for His inheritance out of the background of destiny when He destined them to come to earth and be born according to His divine timing. I want you to know you can be thankful even in this hour of great turbulence and great tribulation that ye were foreknown of the Father. He knew just where you were. And the reason why you're here tonight is because His Spirit can speak to your spirit and He could gather you out through time and throughout history and then teach you line on line and precept on precept. Because you are His people, because you are His household. And don't let anyone tell you that there is any other reason why the children of God today are enlightened outside of the will of their Father and the grace of God. You show me anybody that's a self-made Christian. You show me anybody that can say, I am by my own decisions and by all the things I've discovered without any outside help. Why, my friends, you couldn't even think without the help of God. That's the trouble with the rest of the world. Let me point this out to you then. That when the Eternal said, ye are Elohim, or the divine race, and all of you are the children of Yahweh, and you don't have to die like men. Why do you fall for all these things? He was challenging a people that he calls his offspring and his kindred. And when we talk about the history of this great nation, it is this nation under Yahweh. And that seal up there, that eye, that's what it means. Someone said, well, that, of course, is a symbol of Jesus Christ. Well, only because Jesus Christ is a name we call the eternal Yahshua or Yahweh, because before that word was ever coined or ever used, the eternal Yahweh had that symbol over his people. I want you to know that we as Christians are Christians because we are the offspring of the Most High, because we are spirit of his spirit, and we are a life of his life, because he was part of us and acknowledged us as his kindred. Now let's take this great nation of God's kingdom. It's only one out of the many nations of God's kingdom, but it's also one of the great vital nations to which the gathering of all of the peoples, the various parts of the race and the household can come. Someone said, Dr. Smith, do you believe in British Israel? I believe in all the white race as the children of God being the Israel of God in the world tonight. I'm going to tell you why. Because when God spake to Enoch, he said, thou art my Israel. And that was long before Jacob was born. And that was long before God changed his name to Israel, which meant that the Jacob was God's issue ruling in earth. The word Israel means divine issue ruling with God. And if you don't think you're here to rule with God, then you haven't the first idea what you're doing here. Someone says we've got to separate church and state because we don't want any religion and politics mixed together. Well, I think, my friends, the separation has definitely proved itself, because I took a good look at the politics and its rank. I take a look at what we have as political leadership, and I see deceit, and I see all areas of lost integrity, and I find all areas of violation of divine law, and I know what's wrong. They have separated God out of our political life as far as they can go. A great number of people are citing, well, out of this election, we're going to get great leadership. We're going to get standard bearers. I'm going to tell you something. What we're getting out of this election, however, is one good thing. There's a line being divided down through America between those that serve the program of the world order and the powers of darkness, and an awakening group of people that want to see a restoration of divine standards and divine law. And this is bigger than either man that is involved. I point out to you, God's going to win in this election, irrespective of what transpires at the candidate level, because they're never going to be able to roll the kingdom of God back again. I point out that there are great numbers of people wondering how this job's going to be done. And when they look out over the nation, why, we find whole areas giving lip service to the darkness. As we said this afternoon, the poll that was shown in the Saturday Evening Post showed the overwhelming number of clergy in the United States did not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. And I told you this afternoon, I say it again, that every man that stands in the pulpit of a Christian church that doesn't believe in the deity of Christ should be defrocked. His congregation should refuse to pay his salary, and they should ask God to forgive him for even listening for a man like that. Again, I want to repeat, when they told us, however, that they went through all the colleges and universities in our land, and even with all of the degeneration that has taken place, the overwhelming number of students believe in the deity of Jesus Christ and far surpass the liberal clergy that were trying to destroy them. Because you can't take away. You're not going to be able to take away my word out of the mouth of thy seed for this generation or all the generations that are followed, for my word shall remain in thy mouth, in the mouth of thy seed, in the mouth of thy seed forever. I don't expect you to get 100% of these students. There's too many unassimilatable forces in America that serve every pagan god plus the kikes that serve the devil. I always expect that there's going to be 25% as long as we don't clean house and once more move into our divine destiny and deport out of these United States all our enemies. Someone said, you know, you'll never be able to move out the devil. We would if we fulfilled our responsibilities. We move him out fast. The thing they're worried about in America is not, my friends, the fact that they're going to successfully separate God from America. They're worried tonight about the fact that people are awakening and being challenged to move under spiritual direction and guidance. You know, we've mentioned it before. We don't want some tape listener that might not hear the others that will hear tonight's tape to overlook this thing. This year, in all the high holiday services of Jewry, they are calling on Jews in all of their newspapers to sing the Kalanitra. In previous years, they have denied the Kalanitra. Now, if you're a government agent here tonight, make sure you get this right back where it belongs, because I want the government to go into this thing. It'd be a shame if you had to carry back something effective on God's side, but let's get through with it. In this Kalanitra, this people say that all the oaths which we have taken, all the pledges, all the allegiance, all the agreements and all the contracts that we have made to this point, unless it was made with our own people individually, is of no oath, no value, and we hereby repudiate every oath which we take. This means that every Jew that sang the Kalanitra repudiated his citizenship if he came in from outside the United States. He also says that every contract and every agreement which we make, and maybe we make this with a goyim for our self-interest, every agreement, everything which we have made throughout the next year to come, till the next high holiday services, we hereby repudiate and hold ourselves not responsible to keep. This means you're dealing with a deceitful pack of enemies to your society who can get away with all types of catastrophe and walk guiltless in their own satanic creed. Now I point out to you, it's no wonder then that these sons of Lucifer, that Jesus said, you are the sons of your father, he was a liar, and I expect you to be liars too. And they were. He said, the truth isn't in you. They wage war in these United States upon this great nation's identity with the embodiment of God that we call Jesus the Christ or Yahshua. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. And I want to add this, though we mentioned it Friday, we mentioned it this afternoon. The Nybris messenger comes out with a great blasting attack at the ecumenical conference in Rome because they changed their position from last year, and they're going to not hold the Jews guilty last year for the crucifixion of Christ, and they whitewashed their part in it, and there was such an explosion they had to reverse it. So this year they say that they're not going to hold any Jew guilty of the crucifixion of Christ and becomes a Christian and accepts Jesus Christ. All right. Now what happens? All the Jews in America and throughout the world blew up. They said, we'd rather die. We'd rather go to gas chambers. We'd rather do anything than accept Jesus Christ. This is our great hate. Go read it this week's paper. I hope every Christian understands this then. You have those in your society that are the great hate. Not only the great hate against you and of Christ, but their position is well marked by the strange twist and turn of events that, as they come out to identify themselves in their animosity towards everything that is Christian. And I point out to you that any people in these United States that seek to overthrow our society with Marxism, communism, and a revolution to destroy this great nation under God should not only be looked on with suspect, but the very first time they disavow their allegiance to the United States, we better send them packing where they came from. Someone said, how are we going to save America? Was the great insurrection going to take place? No, my friend. You're not going to be able to suddenly rise up and overthrow a federal government with its military power. That's not how it's done. But I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God is going to move with great power upon the children of the kingdom as they awaken. And they're going to move with a great dynamic that will unseat the forces of darkness and change American history. Now, don't misunderstand me. If the forces of Antichrist and the beasts of the jungle attack the children of the children of kingdom will triumph with a tremendous victory. But any time you hear somebody talking about overthrowing the government, you know they're fantastic and mad, because this is our government, and this is our government under God. We point out to you that we have all kinds of strange, defecting madmen in the world today. They are seeking to join themselves unto the kingdom and then seduce the kingdom in areas of error. They are seeking to find the areas of courageous leadership that would stand ready to defend their community or their society against evil, and then entrap them so they can be destroyed by some fantastic device. I tell you that this is the work of Lucifer. Now, this nation under God is also subject to an attack in which all the attorneys of the enemies of God's kingdom are trying to take the name of Christ out of America. In this instance, they don't even like the word Jesus or Jesus Christ because it represents Yahshua, and they know it. Because this is merely a substitutionary word, and they're afraid one of these days that the whole nation of God's kingdom is going to discover the name of God and pray in His name in one day. And when that happens, my friends, the light and the glory of God that moves across this nation is going to send all the enemies of God's kingdom packing. Strange as it may seem, they have, as you know, launched into what was an impossible situation. And that was that here in these United States they could ever get a trial carried to the Supreme Court that would deny the right of prayer in public schools or deny the reading of the Scriptures, which was an intact part of the history and tradition and the operation of our schools for not only the whole period since we have become a nation in 1776, but back throughout all the colonial days of the history of our nation. You say a bunch of refugees couldn't come in here, they couldn't carry out their activities and sow such poison that we would knock out this identity of our nation with God in the minds of our children, but this has happened in your time. Shame on you, because you're the majority and let it happen. Well, you say, well, we didn't realize it would happen, we didn't think it would get through. Well, I know some of you can't say that because we told you about this 8-9 years ago. We showed you the minutes of a planned world Jewish meeting that was held in this country to take everything that was related to God out of your country, to take the name of Christ out, and to do just exactly what's being done, plus the design to try to take away the tax exemption status of all your churches, and the program is even today to take even in God we trust off of our money. Well, let me point out to you this, that we just have to look back over the last 2 years, and we've found that the degeneration of the high courts of our land and that acceptance of programs of a world order has marked the fact that there has been not enough God in the politics of our nation and not enough of the revelation of God from our churches applying to the responsibility of the citizens to translate this into national action. Thus, within this very procedure, we have watched this dreadful curse fall upon our society. If you're in trouble, if you wonder why the enemy gains strength, if you wonder why this is because people are embarrassed to name the name of Jesus Christ or to recognize the eternal Yahshua with their lips and with their voice in this country because they don't want to offend some Canaanite that doesn't even belong here. Now, I realize that there are those who wish to hear in order to misquote or to twist. I realize that always there is one area of operation that would like to find some way to say what you said was un-American. But let me tell you something, there isn't anything more un-American in these United States tonight than to take this great nation born by destiny, a nation whose destiny still is under God, and to separate every area of spiritual recognition and devotion from every physical act of our nation and of its civic life. That's what un-Americanism is. The moment you start to separate a nation from morality and from integrity and from the name of God, you have committed a catastrophe in your society. Now, we watched the increase of this design, and I found people that said, Dr. Swift, what amazes me, why hasn't the whole organized church risen up against this? Well, the reason why is what the Post told you last week, because half of its ministers don't even believe in the deity of Christ, and therefore they would hardly be expected to take a great stand for the revelation of God. Someone says, then Christianity is on the wane. No, it's not on the wane. These preachers are on the way out. They just haven't discovered it yet. God Almighty is about to do great and mighty miracles in His nations. Oh, you say, we don't believe in miracles. Why? Who told you not to believe in miracles? A bunch of ministers that don't know the name of God? A bunch of men that don't even believe in the power of God going to stand by now and tell you that the works of God throughout the centuries and the millenniums didn't happen? How do you think you ever arrived here? Miracles seated in these chairs tonight. How do you think one man's family ever arose to 1/6 of the world's population with all the Asiatics and all the witch doctors and all the demons in the earth try to stop it? Only the grace of God preserved you and brought you down to this hour. In fact, even with the foolishness of some of your leadership, the only reason why you haven't been destroyed as a nation is because God has a great plan and a great destiny for you and acknowledges that you are His children. You are the nation whom God sought to not only identify and mark, but under the great outstretched wings of this eagle, He marked this great nation who would be powerful from its beginning from this time onward. A nation, God said. A nation who's going to do certain things. Lift up his standard before the world. My friends, on the seal of your nation, you have the eye of the Almighty as the governing pattern of a new order of the ages. You have the great outstretched wings of the eagle of your society, the symbol of the identity of this nation in God's pattern. You have the great arrows of Joseph, and you have the symbols of the olive tree to mark you as that living kingdom whose life existence is the oil of light. I point out to you that as far as God's purposes are concerned, you had wiser men when you started than you have tonight trying to destroy you at the positions in the hell. A nation under God. It wasn't too long ago, just before the devil moved into his last great attack, that there was added to the Pledge of Allegiance in these United States these words, this nation under God. Well, my friends, that was just adding fuel to the fire as far as the enemy is concerned. You know, ever since that, he's been trying to take everything connected with God out of your life. I don't doubt that when the atheist Murray, who's but a tool of the Jews and all their organizations, and even the Saturday Evening Post exposed that a short time ago, and how the Jewish attorneys and these committees were behind attempt to take every part of Christian life and identity and God out of America. She's got another suit on. Well, not only to take away the tax exemption status of churches, she now wants to take the name of God off your money. I'll admit, it's a rather sad place for it to be today when it says Federal Reserve note on it. They try to take it off the coins, but that's about the last place you got anything as far as money's concerned that you can be sure is worth what you got in your fingers. Now we point out to you that under the instance of this declaration, it is to efface permanently the name of the Most High. Now the Scripture comes along to say that I am going to defeat all the cunning craftiness of the heathen. Now God goes a little farther in this. Since this nation is God's land, you didn't know that, did you? Some people think we're just talking about something more or less nostalgic in expectation, remembrance, and hope when we say this is God's country. Well, my friends, more ways than one. This is God's country, and he's not about to give it away. In that great 18th Psalm, or 18th chapter of Isaiah, in which God speaks out concerning this great land, tells all the inhabitants of the world and all the dwellers of the earth, see ye, when we lift up the ensign on the mountains, when we sound the great trumpet of God's kingdom, hear ye. For so Yahweh said unto me, here I will take my rest. This is going to be my dwelling place. Well, I'm glad it's going to be a dwelling place, because I'm not too sure they wouldn't rock the boat if it wasn't. God says, my dwelling place. Here I will take my rest, my dwelling place. And I'm going to tell you that in my dwelling place it will be like a clear heat upon the herbs. It will be like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest. And so I tell you again that in the time of the climax of the age, the great and mighty present brought unto Yahweh of hosts, the eternal God, is going to be from this people, tall and clean shaven, powerful from their beginning, from this time onward, of a land that sent its ambassadors to sea by water drinking vessels or steamships. This great nation, this great land, a land divided by rivers, and their great and mighty offering is unto Yahweh of hosts and the mighty kingdom of true Zion. Not this Zionist subterfuge that we have down in Palestine, not this political revolution of socialism and communism, not, my friends, the enslavement of the earth, but the light and glory that emanates from an eternal Father who declares that again in one day there's going to be a great new birth of light through throughout all the nations of his kingdom. So I point out that this nation under God is one of the most vital things that you can consider. There has been a constant attack in the last few years against the idea of a nation under God or identified with God. They said this never should have entered into the political life of a nation. Religion should be totally separated from national life. You know why? Because they're trying to sell all kinds of religion, but they're just against the religion of Yahshua or Jesus. You say, how do you know that? Well, it happens that while trying to talk about separations of church and state and God from our land, that on down through the time of the Kennedys and right up to the present rascal, they are supporting the building of a temple of all faith in Washington, D.C. Now, while they're against religion, having anything to do with our government, the subscribers and those that are a part of this represent all the Council of Foreign Relations, practically, and almost every one of these individuals that have gone to the left to help bring catastrophe on America. So when they say they want a separation of religion, they just mean they want a separation of the true religion, and they want to embrace Babylon and Baal. Now let's get this clear. That in this instance, then, we find the federal government subsidized pagan religions. It carries the support to the ends of the earth behind pagan religions. And even, my friends, in the last administration, while we were supposed to be fighting the enemies of our civilization and culture, we permitted idolaters and pagans to wipe out one Christian regime, assassinate its leadership, and in just the last few months we had to stand by while they killed Christians in the streets. Now I want you to know that any time America does not stand in defense of Christians being killed by anybody anywhere, that we are derelict in our duty. I want you to know also that when we talk about separation of church and state, this is utter a fallacious design. You know who first started to talk about this? The only time that it was utilized in any area of papers that might be called even semi-official was when Thomas Jefferson in debate said that it would be very serious to the freedom of this country if we permitted any official church or denomination to become a state church and gain authority over all other areas of religion so they could suppress the people's thinking, suppress their investigation, their free thought, or their areas of inspiration. In other words, he didn't want an official Catholic church as the church of the nation. He didn't want it to be Episcopal, or he didn't want it to be Baptist, and said we should separate our national life from the control of any single sect in these United States. That's the only document that was ever a part of any of our state papers. Nothing in the Constitution, nothing in the Bill of Rights, nothing in the Declaration of Independence, and not any part of our official life. Was there any other document that dealt with church and state until we move into these latter days when the Antichrist is trying to scare us away from the name of our God and from our destiny by trying to make it look as though it's not American for the church and state to stand united? Now, we're not looking on this church today as an institution which in its sense or in its force is under an ecclesiastical hierarchy. The great Church of Jesus Christ today is a great institution of men and women who are spirit of His Spirit, life of His life, who down inside of their consciousness, because of the quickening work of God's Holy Spirit, they can say, Our Father which art in heaven, they know God is their Father, they know He is that they are His children, and they know that out of all the error and transgression, it's His Spirit that quickens them to know the truth, and they've been saved from their transgressions because He's their Father. Now, this is what makes up Christians. These are the people that are baptized in His name. These are the people that are joined unto Him. These are the people of His great Holy Communion. These are the people that constitute the Church of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have the name Methodist, Baptist, or Catholic, or anything else on it. And there isn't a priest, there isn't a pope, there isn't a minister that can excommunicate one son of God out of that living church. Let me tell you tonight, if you tried to separate the church from America, you'd have to turn it totally over to the Jews and the pagans, because just as long as you got one Christian in office, there's a part of the church right there in the heart of your nation. What you and I have got to do is to see that the entirety of the leadership of this nation in every field, from the head of government down to educational levels, is Christian. You say, how are you going to do that? You're going to do that with ballot box. You're going to do that with committees. You're going to do that with talking. You're going to do that with a Christian Defense League. You're going to do that with a great challenge to your people to buy Christian, trade Christian, think Christian, vote Christian. You say it's not going to be done. Why, God's already willed it. You can't say it's not going to be done. You just say, how soon is it going to be done? How soon am I going to be a part? I know. God not only makes it clear, and if this be a true prophecy, it shall come to pass. I know that in these United States, in the very near future, under the hand and the act of God, this nation shall be Christian from one sea to the other sea, from one border to the other border. I know that we're told that if we try to do this, they're not going to like it. They tried to say, Dr. Swift, if we tried to make this a Christian nation, why, we'd be bigots. Well, if you just mean that a bigot, somebody that's not going to change his mind, I'd rather be a bigot for God and for truth than for all the idolatry and all the pagans on the face of the earth. They already cost us more than anything on the face of the earth ever cost us. Somebody said, well, a lot of these people wouldn't like us. They'd go home. They'd go to Africa. They'd go to Asia. Well, my friends, we'd better have a bigot revival than across America if that's the result. We have a war of semantics leveled against God's kingdom. We're told that if you believe the Bible and you believe the instructions of God and you try to run your society, raise your family, teach your culture by the laws of God, that you're prejudiced. There isn't any such thing, my friends, as an individual being prejudiced that takes advice from God. The word prejudice is prejudicial. It's opinion without fact. And God never told you something that wasn't a fact. And the things that I see around me, like the race war, like the rape and the pillage and the theft, the great deception in our day is to try to say that there's a civil rights struggle and that there's upheavals over civil rights. It's not over civil rights. It's thievery. It's theft. It has nothing to do with civil rights when they march in and they take everything out of every store or when they attack women or when they move against law enforcement and start killing officers. This isn't civil rights. This is civil anarchy, my friends. This is the anarchy of the Antichrist trying to destroy a Christian nation. Anytime a society turns against law and against order, it is in anarchy. And anytime, my friends, a great nation like this permits anarchy to exist as the enemies of God's kingdom move against it, then shame on us. Listen. It is the purpose of the Most High to not only cleanse our society, stir and awaken His people until they understand from one end of the nation to the other that we have an objective. And that objective is to so identify our nation with our God and so make every part of our action under His guidance that instead of taking prayer out of the Congress, we'll just pray a little longer. You know, you got your Constitution after you took a whole day of prayer and asked for divine guidance. If you can show me a better document for the establishment of liberty and for the building of a country, then come up with it. I point out to you that under this great design to take God out of your life is to produce a sordid society. And the more God you take out of the life of a nation, and the more, my friends, you separate their responsibilities to divine law, the more graft, the more corruption, and the more vileness you get. And you wonder why waves of juveniles sweep upon your communities, why they create havoc, why they act like the jungle, is because you took away the guiding spirit of God out of their lives and turned loose the guiding spirit of jewelry over the television, through the motion pictures, and with every salacious suggestion and with every evil pattern of violence to replace, thus saith the Lord. Someone said, you're too narrow-minded. I'm not against entertainment. I'm not against wholesome pictures. I'm not against wholesome educational and even amusing television programs. But I tell you right now, they've turned the monsters loose on you. I turn and I look at Look magazine. I look at other magazines and they say, though what America needs, they say, is a good psychological little bit of fear thrown in. We need the monster complex. They come right out to say the psychiatrists and psychologists say that monsters are good. They come out to say they're a family of monsters now so that children will be acquainted with them. These horror monsters, these strange fiends, these deviates of all standards of righteousness, this mutation that comes when fallen angels intermingle with people or bestiality is the result. These monsters now are a whole family of them, really nice monsters, you know. And so they start off television programs with enough monsterism to get your youth and your young people adjusted to monsters in their strange ways. They say this is healthy. This is just a little balance in their lives. Let me tell you something. When you can take God out and put the monsters in, then, my friends, we better destroy the monster makers. No wonder it's some of the strange, fiendish crimes that take place. You wonder why the emotional immaturity that we see among Negroes can be turned to such vast and hardened reactions against the race that was their benefactor. You wonder, my friends, why it is that we have the strange deviation of crimes of utter sordidness and the strange complexity and the strange twist is because this image is being planted in the minds of youth and of adults and of people all over the nation. And you stand back and sometimes if you hold the spectacle, you can wonder what kind of twisted mentality could ever operate as though this were a way of life. Law enforcement officers are sitting on a powder keg. Their responsibility is to try to keep law and order in these United States and their communities. They have been told they're responsible to protect property, they're responsible to protect life. And right now, my friends, when hordes of disturbed people under communist masses and Jewish leadership start violence, they're told, as they were in Philadelphia, lay down your gun, lay down your nightstick, you're not to do anything about it. And as officers stated, and I've got their story right now in my files, they said, we watched them rape and woo a loot. We watched them going down the street with property. We watched them thieving and stealing. We knew that this had nothing to do with civil rights. This was just theft. And we were told we can't do anything about this. I happen to know that right in this state that you have departments who have told their officers that when the civil rights violence comes in, they're to check in their guns. Just trust the monsters. They're friendly. Let me tell you that it's high time that we, as the children of God, what a great catalyst of the vision and faith God challenges inside of you. Oh, you say, I'm against it. I anticipate you would be. I thought anybody in here that wasn't against this should have left by now anyhow. But I want you to know that you just don't stand by and watch it day after day destroy your society. You rise up and do something about it. Now, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit as the very essence of the intelligence of God and the very dynamic that moves upon men. And that when it moves upon them, they can hardly rest or sleep until they accomplish the objective. They're filled with it. They look forward to it. They live with it. Defeated? No, you can't defeat somebody that's got the mind of God. Someone said, well, this is too much to ask for statesmanship. No, my friends, we shouldn't be satisfied with anything short of this. There was a day when our forefathers had not yet had the advantage, as some might say, of our great republic. But a prophet of God came out to anoint the king. And the king had to be anointed of God before he could ever sit upon the throne of your race. And I'm going to tell you that what we need is men whose minds have been anointed by the Spirit to lead us in this great and crucial hour. Someone said, well, can't God do anything? Yes, God can do anything. But he's not just doing anything. He's going to do something very positively determined in his word. He's going to stir you and quicken you, and he's going to make you angry along with it. Wrath will rise up in your countenance, but the light's going to appear too. The glory of God, like an aura, is going to stand out on his people. The great hosts of darkness are going to be driven from your nation. They may trap themselves like they do with this colony, or they may go to violence until great action by the majority of people is demanded. You know, there's one thing about these politicians. Right now, they work with expediency. If there's enough right-wing pressure, they move in that direction. And if they look like there's more pressure coming from the international banker or the administration, they go that way. But we're even going to have congressmen that are going to do the thing that's right because it's right, not because of fear or prosperity. Someone said wishful thinking. No. You're forgetting what I read to you. When we read these words concerning the Eternal, who said, by the word of Yahweh he made the heavens, and by his word he made all the hosts of them, and by the very breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear, let all the inhabitants stand in awe, for when he speaks, it's done, and when he commands, it's going to stand fast as a commandment. And God's already ordained, he's already commanded, he's already prophesied. I'm just listening now, not for the rustle of wings, for the mighty roar, the greatest space fleet of all time. Well, you say, well, you're just putting hope in something that's not going to happen. My friends, I'm going to tell you something. If it doesn't happen, we'll have to do it ourselves. But don't worry. What God has said, he will fulfill. A nation under God, born in miracles, out of a past of a history of a God of miracles. A nation whose God hath not forsaken us. A nation who has promised to deliver you out of the snare of Babylon. A nation that is calling upon you to take not only a stand for him and for his name, but to refuse to recognize any other pagan religion or any other pagan god in these United States. Do you know if the Supreme Court had ruled that no religion that denies that Jesus is the Christ will be recognized as religion but deception, and from here on out it's Christianity or nothing, the blessings of God would have moved on you like nothing ever happened in the past history of your race. You don't have any covenant to support the darkness. You don't have any covenant to support the evil. Well, your forefathers never expected these devils were going to get in here anyhow. They had built immigration laws to keep them all out. People start talking about equality. Let me tell you something. When that Constitution was framed up, it was framed up by white men for white men. They didn't even let Negroes be considered as people to vote. And Abraham Lincoln didn't even anticipate that they should be allowed to vote or select offices or hold any position in government. Now this, my friends, is an attack on Negroes in Negro country. This is an attack on Negroes as a lesser society in our country. And if you don't believe they're a lesser society, then watch how they're acting. The other day someone said, Dr. Swift, you shouldn't talk this way because it's not going to be safe. What do you mean safe? There isn't any safety except it comes from my father anyhow. These other rascals would liquidate us instantly if they could get away with it. Don't start talking on the basis of safety. Start talking on the basis of truth. Lift up a standard that you can repair to with honor. And you don't have to worry, my friends. God will back that standard and He'll give you protection. So this great nation can say, this is God's country. I'm going to see how you're going to get the name of God out of God's country. Because you're not going to get it out from this people whose God is the Lord, whose El is Yahweh. So Mr. Dr. Swift, we never heard much about that name. No, in these latter days, you're going to hear a lot about that name. One of these days, you're all going to call Him by His name. You know, there's one of the great mysteries of heaven. It has never been reversed and never repudiated. If two of you shall agree as touching anything under heaven, whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will do it. I'm going to tell you one of these days, the name of God is going to be one of the most paramount factors of value in these United States. You know, you use the name of God and whole groups of the rascals in our country tremble. There are some of them even afraid in their falseness to use anything but a few little emblems of it. They give us a few little words, call it the tetragon, and say, we don't dare mention it. We don't want anybody to mention it. Well, my friends, you better learn how to call on the name of the Father in this vital hour. You know, we turn over here in the words of the Eternal, who tells us, except these days be shortened, there wouldn't be any flesh saved. And for the elect's sake, the children of the kingdom, God said the very days are going to be shortened. Going to step it up, going to speed it up, going to turn loose power, going to do a great short work of righteousness. My sons are going to move into a miracle age, and I'm going to stand by with hosts, and the enemy's going to come from every side, and we're going to defeat him with a great master conquest of evil. But listen, you're being told that we got to acquiesce. In fact, we made a mistake when we started trading with the devil and selling him wheat. They'll tell you last week that major companies and countries are bidding now to trade with the Soviet Union. They're trying to trade with Britain. They've promised to buy $250 million worth of goods a year if they'll trade with them. They offered France $350 million purchase, and they ordered Japan a $380 million purchase. And these countries now are listening towards the wooing of Antichrist countries. And I'll tell you, this great wonderful purchase plan of the Soviet Union asks that you give us first 5 years' credit. So by this time, we will have the ability to pay you back. You don't believe that? Get United States News this week, and every figure I gave you is there. Now, the fact remains that the administration is also warming up, but doesn't want to move till after election. Okay. All right. Now we're told that we must enter into an area of disarmament, and we must move to extend these credits. We must do all these things. Now let me tell you something. A few weeks ago, a great new space object was orbited. It's flying around the Earth. Several documents came out to unveil what it was about. There are several magazines telling you the story even now. Red China, with Soviet-Russian help, has orbited a space satellite with one of the most powerful nuclear bombs, and it's a cobalt bomb. As this bomb circles the Earth, the boast is that this bomb is of sufficient size that it can be discharged by special electronic equipment anywhere in its trip, and it can wipe out one quarter of the Earth's surface. Its people, its society can be thus killed. Now the other day it swept out. Soviet Russia, trying to impress the Japanese, said that they had the most horrible weapon that had ever been designed. So powerful as it swept the Earth that it could atomize one quarter of the globe. They went into detail to impress Japanese representatives, and the secret was out. Then Japan came home and said, "My, maybe we better get together. Russia's got a super weapon that can destroy a quarter of the Earth." When the goat passing started, it turns up that it was Red China that tactfully supposedly owns this weapon. But without Soviet Russian assistance, They never could have launched it. Now, when the pressure came on, what are you talking about, Mr. Khrushchev? How do you come? You're talking peace. You're trying to woo the people of God with false lies and saying peace when there isn't any peace. He said, oh, they misunderstood me. I just meant that this is a day of terrible weapons. I'm sure those sage Japanese and those cutting statesmen misunderstood the threat and what they heard and what was said. I'm sure that right now on the newsstand, you can go out and pick up several magazines right now whose headline this month is The Red Chinese in Russia Orbit a Earth-Shattering Cobalt Bomb with Great Deadliness. Now, someone said, what's that got to do with us? Well, you better be a nation whose God is Yahweh. I can tell you that. Well, you say, we've got technological devices now that we have the full scope of discharging an area of energy that will activate any electronic device to blow up anything in the sky anywhere. In fact, we are now utilizing a new type of ray whose high wave of vibration can actually operate electronic devices or perform all kinds of deadly effects all the way to the moon. Now listen. Then you better pray that God gives somebody wisdom enough to pull the plug over the enemy. If they're going to blow up the earth, then let it be blown up with their own weapon as a judgment upon them. But you better have people that are dedicated to the kingdom. Someone says they only threaten. God said, listen, if I didn't shorten the time for your sake, there wouldn't be anybody left. Oh, he said, we can orbit them just as big. That's right, we could get them all around the world until there wouldn't be anything left. You'd have to find a way inside to survive. You'd be surprised how many people try to go to hell then. That word netherworld and inner earth that they don't like to talk about too much, but there is a netherworld. There is an inner earth. And there is a Sheol of the grave, and there is an occupancy of Luciferian forces within, but it's not for the children of God. I tell you that the devil and all his imps is not going to destroy God's kingdom. I don't live with fear, but I live with such a driving vision of what God's about to do and such a clear vision that we must challenge His people to help in the operation, to participate in it in their service of occupation. But I know that the living thinking processes that fill your life should be making this nation and everything that you're associated with Christ and Christian. You say, well, this is a lip service plan. No, it's not a lip service plan. It's an action plan powered by the Spirit of God. So I tell you this tonight, this is a nation under God. And I challenge you to refuse to cooperate with any order from any tribunal or any executive that wants to limit your recognition of God, your service and your prayer and your attention to Him now or at any time in your life or in the life of your children. There is one thing that no court in America has the right to do. And that's to make a decision that interferes with the function of religion. The decision of the court to take out prayer is an unconstitutional decision. It's not within the ramifications of the court. Besides that, they haven't any business touching education anyhow. Yes, don't be guided by the number of clergy who come out one way or the other for something. Be guided by the Spirit of God who can raise up the truth, raises up a clergy which answers to Him, and raises up a people called by His name. So I tell you this tonight. We should be ready to resist any design to destroy God's kingdom. We should be prepared to protect our homes from all the beasts and their assault. We should stand by to protect our homes and our property from any attempt to ravage, to steal, and to destroy. We should be willing to lift up a standard for God, and we should be unashamed to say we don't want anybody but Christians influencing our lives or governing our society. And if there's anything unchristian about that, you tell me what it is. You know, you'd be surprised at all the Jews that wail when they hear about the fact that there's going to be a Christian consumer's guide. Now, just why should Jews wail about that when they have a kosher guide out? The other day, somebody handed me a kosher guide from a local synagogue. Says, buy with these people. They're kosher. Well, I think it's time that our people had the sign of the cross. Go to these people. They're Christian. I listened to a numbskull clergyman say, the thing that's dangerous is we don't want anything that divides the people. Well, we better get a division right here between the people of God and the enemy, and then find out how to deport the enemy. No retreat. Someone said, well, what'll happen to the ends of the earth? The greatest day in human history, when the kingdom starts to glow with the glory of God. When people light up with the realization of their responsibility, when the miracle power of God goes to the ends of the earth, because sons have reached their maturity and the manifestation of the sons of God are moving out across the earth. We're not talking about some fanatical area of self-exaltation, self-glorification, or some fantastic operation that belongs with the witch doctors. We're talking about people clear of countenance with the glory of God on their face, with the power to command and see obedience. We're talking about a people that are not ashamed of his name. So we challenge each one of you to think constantly of America with that all-seeing eye of God. Don't let them take that capstone down. Don't let them carry any successful attack upon the name of God. Start rolling it back the other way. Talk it, think it, work for it, and watch God honor you. Blessed is the nation whose zeal is Yahweh. And blessed are the people that are not ashamed of me. For I will not be ashamed of them, and I'll make the whole world to know that these are my sons and my daughters. And I'd rather have God standing up to say, this is my son and my daughter, hear ye him, than to have any award that the New Frontier could give to us.